Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening once again, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. It is time for America's Most Haunted. I'm Eric Olson. As always, I'm extremely excited to be here. And as always, we have a wondrous guest. And as always, or almost always, I have a wondrous co-host, the world-famous haunted housewife, Teresa Argy. How are you, Teresa?
I'm good, Eric. Very excited for tonight. We've got a fellow Ohioan on with us tonight, and it's going to be a good show. This is a new subject for us on America's Most Haunted, and I can't wait to talk.
You're right, because we did talk to a couple of the Finding Bigfoot peeps, but that was on Storyteller, so
right.
You are 100% correct.
Yeah, we did Renee and Cliff, but that was on the other show, on Storyteller. So tonight, America's Most Haunted has a first. We have Jody Cook. He is one of the most active Bigfoot researchers in the state of Ohio and originally was a member of the Cincinnati UFO Research Group, ASK, which is also interesting. We can talk about that, too. But he found out his interests were more in the field of cryptozoology. He's been studying the Bigfoot phenomenon since 1991 and has authored several books, Bigfoot in Ohio, Legend of the Grassman, Traces of the Grassman, The Hunt for the Ohio Bigfoot, and The Beginner's Guide to Bigfoot Research. And it goes on and on and on. Lots of books there. He is founded Cryptid Seekers with Dina Palazzini and Esteban, I'm going to butcher this, Sarmiento. Did I say that right? There you go. As well as the Ohio Center for Bigfoot Studies. He's the editor of Cryptic Seekers magazine and a member of the American Bigfoot Society. I'm sure you've seen him on television. You've heard him on the radio, and he's with us tonight. Jody Cook, welcome to America's Most Haunted.
Oh, thank you. How are you doing?
We're doing great. This is interesting. This is a new forte for us. Really interested, and I think it was only appropriate that we had you on since we are here in Cleveland, Ohio, that we talk about what's happening here in our home state.
There's a lot of stuff going on. I didn't know you guys were in Cleveland. I have to tell you some stuff that's going on in Cleveland it's dealing more with some dogman stuff.
Ooh.
That's going on up there in Cleveland. Case I've been working on for the last probably 2 years.
I'm not familiar with the dog man. I don't. I'm that is.
Yeah, tell us about it.
Yeah.
The dog man's more, like the werewolf stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Up there in Akron area, there's a metro park up
mm-hmm.
there, and in this one particular metro park, they've been having a lot of sightings up there of. What they're calling like your typical Van Helsing style werewolf, type sighting. I mean, quite a few people have almost hit this thing, on the road there. And, people have, I've got eyewitness drawings of it. I mean, it's very typical. I mean, it looks, very much like a dog. It's got a snout. It's got the high ears, human, arms and legs, but it's got a dog body, dog head and stuff. The park, the odd thing about it is that the park district knows about it and they're aware of it. And their official comment to me was, they don't like to talk about it. And that's what they, they said. And, one of their rangers actually, quite a few of the rangers have actually seen this thing, and one of them actually saw it like up close, and I got his drawing, and I was up there. I went up there the day after he had his sighting, and got some really beautiful because it snowed that night that he saw his sighting, and which was kind of odd because he was getting in his vehicle. And he saw a dog about 40 yards away from him, it was like 40 yards or 40 feet, I can't remember off the top of my head. He was trying to call the dog over, and the dog wouldn't come over, but he kept saying, it had this like odd look on its face, and he kept talking about the eyes are just kind of like really odd. And, he had like his sandwich you know, that he had left over. So he was trying to taunt the dog over, and the, you know, dog wouldn't come. So he threw the sandwich like halfway over, and the dog still wouldn't come over. So he gets in his vehicle and backs the vehicle up, and the lights hit the dog, and he said it stood up, you know. And he described it as like a German Shepherd, you know. But
on two legs?
Yeah, he said it stood up on two legs, and he said it's, you know, the arms were very human arms. He said he's seen the fingers, you know, on it. But he said when the thing walked off, you know, and, you know, we're like kind of like ran out of the park up, you know, across the road, he said it looked like it had a tail to it, you know. But that was like the only sighting that had a tail to it, you know, because all the other sightings, you know, that people have had, no one had, you know, said anything about a tail. So I'm thinking maybe it might have been a, you know, a leg he saw come out, you know, and he might have thought it was a leg or a tail, you know. Yeah, it was kind of, you know, what this guy saw. But these tracks, you know, were very human style tracks, but they were kind of different, but they had huge claw marks, you know. And I got some really good pictures of them. We found like 168 tracks that were coming from the deep part of the woods, coming all the way up into, you know, to the road. And they measured out to about 10 inches in length, you know, but they had, you know, really nice claw marks that were coming out of them, you know. But they're really odd, you know. So this thing was walking on 2 feet the whole time, you know. So
And the tracks were all from one animal,
creature? Yeah, it was from one animal, you know. And, you know, like, you know where Norton is, right?
Yes.
Off to the, well, right at the same time, they were having a lot of sightings of the same thing right there in Norton, Ohio. And so there's a lot of stuff kind of like happening still going on. And there was, I just got another report from a guy on the east side of Akron that I can't tell you the name of the town because it's still an investigation, but he ran into like five of them. I mean, this guy was serious as a heart attack. I mean, he was, you know, he said there was like five of them that, you know, when he was out in the field, and they
like
were just
a pack. Like,
yeah,
there's like
a, yeah. Oof. Yeah, he said it was, you know, like a pack of them out there, and he counted five of them. You know, they didn't do anything to him, but, you know, they just kind of like were looking at him and watching him and stuff. So, and, you know, this guy was, I mean, he was very scared, you know, and, you know, to the point of crying, you know, on a story. So, you know, we're having the same, like in Germantown, Ohio, you know, we got an issue going on down there where, you know, they're having something that's very similar, you know, to, you know, like dogman type sightings down there where, but their problem that they're having there is that, you know, they're having like animals and cattle, you know, and things being ripped apart, but nothing's eating the animals. You know, like the you know, the cattle that's being mutilated, they're not being eaten. They're
now,
just being mutilated. They're being ripped apart.
This dog type sighting, this creature that was reported in Akron or in the pack in Germantown, is there a similar
pack? No, this pack was in Akron, outside of Akron. Yeah, yeah.
That's close. That's very. It's actually,
that's very close.
Closer
to, you guys,
to Eric,
yeah,
than it is to me. It's a little,
yeah,
bit closer to Eric. Is this a creature that has been spotted in other states, or is this something that is new to Ohio?
Well, no, it's not. I mean, the thing of it is, it's the whole thing when it comes to like dogmen or your typical werewolf. They're not like Bigfoot sightings. Okay, Bigfoot is something that is, you know, worldwide. You know, every single continent has some type of a Bigfoot, you know, creature. Even you know, Africa has reports of, you know, Bigfoot there. Now, when you talk about your werewolf or your dogman, you know, it's very isolated areas. You've got it like in Eastern Europe, okay, some parts of Asia, okay? But, you know, here in the United States, you know, the biggest parts, okay, is mostly like Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, you know, some parts of, you know, New York, you know, and that's it. You know, that's like the main area, you know, for dogman sightings. There are some smaller insulated, and you know, excuse me, sightings, you know, in different parts of the country, but they're just, you know, small little things. But when you talk about like a very large amount of sightings, that's where it's coming from. You know,
so we're Dogman Central.
Yeah, just in this, you know, and don't get me wrong, there is Dogman sightings all across the country, but they're not like how they are, you know, in this area. It's like Defiance, Ohio. You guys are familiar with that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, in 1972, in Defiance, Ohio, they for 2 weeks.
Home of Mount Union.
Huh?
Home of Mount Union College.
What do you mean? You're losing me.
Defiance, Ohio is the home of Mount Union College.
Oh, okay. Well, Defiance, Ohio, there was a massive amount for 2 weeks of a werewolf sighting that was going on. And even two guys were actually attacked along the railroad, you know, there. They were animals that were being mutilated. There was just a lot of stuff that was going on, you know, a lot of, you know, sightings, you know, the police was involved, and, you know, this was something that was going on for, you know, 2 weeks in Defiance that made national news, you know. So Ohio had a lot of history, you know, when it comes to, you know, the werewolf stuff.
And the Bigfoot stuff as well.
To ask, because this is, we have kind of these concentric circles, right? And in the broadly speaking paranormal world community, again, in the broadest sense, from what I am finding, you have the largest agreement on ghosts, you know, or something. Spirits, something haunting, something of that nature. You know, most people involved one way or another with the paranormal, you know, pretty much agree that there's something there that exists, you know, outside of people's minds. And then, you know, when you move over, then, of course, you have UFOs, and that's kind of a separate world, and there's separate issues there, and you still have a large percentage of people certainly who figure, you know, there has to be something going on where there's smoke, there's fire, that kind of thing. And then you move in a different direction, and you're into the cryptids. And of the cryptids, it seems from what I'm gathering, Bigfoot's kind of the common denominator. It seems to be the most explainable, the most plausible, and like you said, it's ubiquitous. It's on every continent other than Antarctica, every state other than, I guess, Hawaii, and mm-hmm. and so on and so forth. But when you move outside of that, you know, like there seems to be less agreement on lake monsters, and then you have the various winged creatures and so on and so forth. So I'm wondering where, you know, kind of theoretically, where do these dogmen / you know, werewolves, where do they fit into things? I mean, where do they fit into the picture, the biological picture? I mean, what are these things, do you think? What, in your opinion, who is an expert in this field and who's tracking all this and who's written, my God, I can't believe it's like 10 books you've written on cryptozoology, what are these things? Where do they fit into the puzzle?
First of all, I want to explain something to you. There is no experts in this field, okay? There's not, okay? And that's the first thing I want to put off. You know, there's people out there, like, I'm sorry. You know, I'm going to probably make some people mad. The people from Finding Bigfoot think they're experts and they're not. That show is the most.
Tell it, brother.
That show is the most misleading show on how to do Bigfoot research. You know, and I don't mean to be disrespectful to anybody because I know them guys, you know, but you know the thing of it is, no one does that. I mean, they really mislead you. You know, you don't go out. Whenever you go out looking for Bigfoot, you don't always find evidence. You don't always find contact. You know, I mean, it doesn't happen like that. You know,
same with looking for ghosts.
You know, but the thing of it is, you know, in order to be an expert, you know, you have to live among them, you know, give them cute little names, you know, be accepted into their community, and you travel with them, and you hunt with them. I mean, you understand what I'm saying? You know, like you know, Diane Fossey and. You know, and you know, living with the gorillas and stuff like that. That's how you become an expert. And you know, I've seen a Bigfoot. I know they exist. I've seen one. I had three other guys with me. I was on a U.S. Army installation, you know, when I saw it. You know, so I know they exist. But the one thing that people need to understand, you know, when it comes to cryptozoology and UFOs and ghosts and stuff, human testimony doesn't mean crap, okay? It doesn't mean anything, okay? And the fact of, you know,
don't be shy. Tell us what you think. No fears.
They're not going to exist. Ghosts, Bigfoot, UFOs aren't going to exist until science says they do, and that's the reality of it, okay, and that's the truth. Science doesn't want to be wrong. Science doesn't want to be proven to be wrong. If Bigfoot is found and proven to exist, they're going to classify it as something other than what it is, okay, just on the whim of not being proven to be wrong, okay. So that's the whole point I'm trying to get across, okay. So that's why there's no experts in the field, because he's never really been proven to exist. Okay, so, but to get back to what you were saying, and sorry to go off on my rant there, but I had to sit there and say it. I believe that they're their own species. I don't believe in transformation, where a human transformates into a werewolf, because for one, it's physically impossible, and it would kill a human, because you know your bones literally would have to be cartilage, okay?
Right.
Your organs would be crushed and punctured, you know, in a transformation. So it would physically kill the person. So this creature would have to be a species within itself, and they were probably aren't that many of them. They're probably a very low number of them. Now it goes all the way back to Native American culture, you know, where they talk about these things, and they're known as skinwalkers, you know, and so forth. And each, you know, a lot of the different Native American cultures, you know, give them different names, but they're all the same things. What they're talking about, they're all, you know, dogmen or the werewolves. And even in, you know, Egyptian culture, they even talk about them. But I believe that they're a species of their own, and it is some type of canine type human species that could be maybe something that could be extraterrestrial engineering. That could be, okay. I don't think they're, like I said, I don't think there's a whole lot of them, maybe in the hundreds, maybe less than that, you know, because like I said, location wise, there are not that many of them, because the sighting wise, there are not that many of them, you know, the sightings that they're getting. So.
Interesting. That opens up all kinds of things. That reminds me, did you see this show that was on, just over the weekend. It was kind of interesting in that it kind of summarized, you know, kind of everything in the Bigfoot world to this date, and it kind of gave a short description of all the different theories. It was the America's Secret Book on Bigfoot. Have you seen that?
Yeah, I watched a little bit of it and kind of turned it off. I got bored with it. You know, because Steve Scalls is a really good friend of mine, and you know he did a really good part of that on what he was doing, because you know he did a lot showing what a lot of researchers are actually doing, and that's using a lot of DVR systems out in the field, which a lot of researchers haven't really done, Bigfoot researchers do is a lot different. We don't use the same equipment that a lot of ghost hunters do and what ufologists use and so forth. So, they kind of make it sound that, the federal government is hiding, the truth about Bigfoot, from the American people. I mean, they might be. I don't see why, because there really is no national security reason for to hide the existence of Bigfoot. Okay, now the FBI they've got 2,000 classified documents on Bigfoot. Okay, I'll tell you that right now, because I wrote them under the Freedom of Information Act. Got 22 documents that were blacked out, and it told me there's 2,000 plus documents that's still classified, that I can't get my hands on. So, and the reason why that they have 2,000 classified documents is because it has nothing to do that the FBI is out there looking for Bigfoot and they have an X-File and stuff like that. They don't. It's because that, their agents are in the field. They're conducting legitimate investigations, okay? And when they're conducting their legitimate, investigations, that one of their agents may have seen something that he can't explain, okay, like a Bigfoot. So what they do, they put it in their report because they're being thorough, and they're putting in a report, hey, I saw this large, hairy creature. Look at me. It was following me, blah, 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 blah. And, he's doing what he's trying to do. He put it in his report. The FBI agent could be an undercover agent, so they have to keep his identity, protected. So that's why it's classified. The property could have been, classified area. That's why they have to keep the document classified. You see what I'm saying? That's why they have classified documents, because,
it's incidental. Incidental
stuff. It's an incidental thing, because maybe a Bigfoot was on federal property, because they've seen it or something to that effect. It's not because the FBI is out looking for Bigfoot, because they're not. They don't have the time or the money or the resources or the manpower to go and do it, and stuff, because that's not their job, to do that. But,
well, it doesn't make much sense. You're right. I mean, sure, you can see it from the UFO standpoint. There's all kinds of potential issues.
Yeah, because UFOs is a different thing. That's a national security issue.
Technology.
That could be considered a national security issue if you want to look at it. I mean, I'm sure that the military knows that, there's something there. Bigfoot is just there's not, and the whole thing about that show, they just wanted to make it like the federal government just keeping things hidden, Bigfoot is out there, and
well, that's the theme of the show. I realized that was why that part felt not didn't feel like it fit in very well because it was kind of forced into that category because that's the show. The show is America's Book of Secrets, so you would have to have some sort of at least potential governmental conspiracy. I mean, their angle seemed to be that if there was anything going on governmental, it's simply that it would be too startling, and B, the economic standpoint. They were saying that if this was found, if Bigfoot was found and was classified as what it's presumed to be, either some sort of giant ape or even a human ape hybrid, something like that, that area that it was in, and again, we've already said, such a large area.
It's a money issue is what it comes down to.
Money issue.
Logging
and the like.
Well, it's the same thing, you know, there was a show that was on Animal Planet called Mermaid's Body Found, you know. And,
yes.
you know, they try to play
and
that off.
There was a new one. There was a sequel.
Yeah, which was just as ridiculous. You know,
I think it was more ridiculous because we already knew, you know what I mean?
But people didn't know. That was what was amazing.
I know. It's terrible. It's extremely deceptive.
Yeah, the Navy sued them over this because they said that, you know, they sit there and, I mean, this is what I heard. You know, that the Navy ended up, you know, and NOAA, you know, like sued them over this because they made them, you know, out to be bad guys and stuff. And, you know, they had nothing to, you know, the Navy and them had nothing to do with this stuff, you know, with beaching whales and stuff. So, but,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah,
well,
I'd love to get, I
don't want to interrupt, but, I mean, we'd love to just get to the meat of the matter and the whole, you know, your thoughts and your experiences with Bigfoot. You're the Ohio Bigfoot guy. So, what's going on? What have you seen? You know, where have you seen it? Why do you think Ohio really does seem to be such a hot spot? When you see the lists of the reports from by state, it's always, you know, Washington, California, I think Oregon, and Ohio's kind of right after that. It seems to be at least top five.
Ohio is about number three.
Okay.
You know, when it comes to amount of sightings, you know, the food resource, you know, we have a large abundance of food here, forest. You know, Ohio's a dairy state. We all know that. You know, it's a farm state. You know, so, you know, the resources is here for an animal that size to live here, you know, and stuff. Because, like I said, especially, you know, with the forests and stuff, you know, history-wise, you know, if you go back, the Cherokee Nation, they have a creature in their story. You know, they do. Native Americans have a lot of stories. They have a lot of, you know, dances and stuff like that. You know, they do, and they have a creature they call the booger, okay. And they have a dance they call the booger dance.
That is my 6-year-old son.
Yeah. And what the booger is the wild man or the wild woman of the woods, okay. So, and they do a dance called the booger dance where the booger would dance with the children, okay? And basically what it is that the if the children aren't good and they don't listen to their parents, the booger will take the children at night and eat them, okay? And they have the booger has a ceremonial costume, you know, which is pretty pretty awesome looking, pretty scary also. And when the white man was traveling west, they were picking up all these folklores, and that is how we got the story of the boogeyman in white man culture from the Cherokees, you know, the boogers. And what the, you know, and all that is their story of the Bigfoot, you know, coming and taking the children, in which, you know, which it wasn't pretty far-fetched story. It was pretty damn true. You know, even the Shawnee that were here in Ohio, you know, called them the Big Blue Giants. In Fort Ancient, there in right off of 71, there in where's that area called where Fort Ancient is?
North, central, south.
No, it's I can't remember off the top of my head, but anyhow, you know, they've got one of the battle axes up there in the museum that the Shawnee used to fight the Big Blue Giants with, you know, and I have a picture of it in one of my books, you know. So, I mean, there's a lot of history, you know, when it comes to, you know, Bigfoot in Ohio, especially with the you know, the Native Americans. And there was a book called A Buckeye Boyhood that was written by William Vanderbilt, who was a very well-known author. He wrote a lot of books about Ohio back in the turn of the century, and he wrote a book called A Buckeye Boyhood about him growing up in Ohio in the 1830s, and he talked about all the odd stuff in Ohio, like the Black Panthers that used to roam Ohio, you know, and the Red Flying Squirrel, and just a lot of odd other animals. And he talks about this creature they called the Bajessman, which was a Bigfoot, and he describes it between a gorilla and Sinbad's Old Man of the Mountain, you know. But it you know, and he talks about these things, you know, roaming Ohio. So
now, this, what the Indians called the name they had for it, the big blue, what was that?
The Big Blue Giant, and that's
why was it blue? Was it blue in color? Did it resemble? I never heard of a blue Bigfoot. This is
no. I think is what it is that the reason why they called it the Big Blue Giant, from what they were telling me, is that they're maybe because of the skin tone color, may have something to do with it because of you know, maybe living underground. Or maybe something because the color of their hair, you know, was so, you know, dark or something. You know, it had a blue tint to it, maybe, you know.
Right. I think something very black and shiny can have a bluish sheen.
I think that would be more frightening to see something that, a color like that, that, you know, is not something I would think would be found in nature, in an animal. Let alone something that's going to steal the children and eat them. But the stories and the history is amazing. And I know maybe it is going back to Native American. Now, do you think that these are the same creatures, or there are many different types, many different breeds or species of a Bigfoot-type creature, or is it all one type of thing that people are reporting?
No, I think there's probably three species in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have tortoise skunk ape, which is a completely different species of Bigfoot.
In the South, primarily,
yeah,
right?
Which in the South, which is something that is more, you know, your orangutan type looking.
Shorter.
He's shorter. He's probably about 200 pounds, 250 pounds. He's more man size. Then you have your Eastern Bigfoot, which is a lot more aggressive. What I mean aggressive is that, you know, they throw rocks, they throw branch, you know, sticks and things like that. You get more vocalizations that, you know, screamed at you, things like that. They're more stockier, probably about, you know, 300 to 400 pounds, 6 to 7 feet. Okay, and then you have your Western Bigfoot, which is a lot larger, which is, you know, probably more closer to, you know, 8 to 9 feet, you know, 400 pounds plus, but they're more docile. They don't want human contact, and they're not, like you said, they're not aggressive. You know.
The size that is reported, and a lot of this when I see these on the shows, it's almost like I could buy into a Bigfoot. I could buy into a large ape-like creature roaming around in the woods. But when they start describing these things as being 10, 11 feet tall, then I just, you know, I just, I
call
BS.
Well, let me tell you something. You know, I was up in Canada, and we were out in, up in British Columbia. We were, like, way up in British Columbia. And
so that's the
Indian,
west.
Huh?
So that's the west.
Yeah, British
west
Columbia is out
Canada.
West. Huh?
The west of Canada.
Yeah, it's out Pacific Northwest.
Yes.
But well, we're up on the northern part of B.C., because you got Vancouver Island and you got the part that's the homeland, and we're up north. And they're back in the 70s. There was a movie that was called Bigfoot. They were filmed up there where a bunch of cowboys went out looking for Bigfoot and stuff, and they went up to in British Columbia and stuff. And we actually went up into that area where the movie was based on, and the Coahuila Indian Tribe, I'm hoping that's the way I pronounced it, they only took us out, like, so far. And they said that, you know, these things are, they're cannibals. And they said these things are, like, 12 feet, and they're 1,000 pounds. They said they're larger than the bears up there. And they say these things eat the bears, and they eat people. They're cannibals. And they were serious as a heart attack. And they said, you guys are not going to come back. I'm serious. You know, if you want to go, you're going on your own. We're not going. We're not taking you any farther. And we went out there for like 3 days, and we did not see anything. No wildlife whatsoever. No birds. Nothing. We didn't hear any crickets. We didn't hear nothing. It was like the end of the world out there. But it was so eerie, feeling like you're being watched. I mean, so it got to the point we decided, you know, it's time to go. You know, they might be something, you know, something to this. You know, so we did end up leaving. You know.
Do you think they really get that big?
They say up there in Canada they do.
I mean, could
you know,
just
they,
picture that?
Yeah,
I mean, so
that's,
overwhelming.
Yeah.
I mean, the trees, you know, it's as tall as a tree.
Well, these
so
things are taking, they're taking trees and turning them upside down and putting them back into the hole upside down. So something's doing that.
Good Lord. Why would
yeah.
they do that?
God knows, you know,
so,
and stuff.
So very interesting about, I'm really happy to hear your taxonomy, you know, with the three different kinds. I think I find that really interesting. It's the first that I've heard it anyway put that explicitly. What then do you think they are?
I think they're a primate, okay? That, you know, a human, chimpanzee, orangutan, gorillas, we're all primates. It's just we're the smarter of the species, and we evolved a little bit quicker. I think, you know, that's kind of the only difference, you know. And I think when we kind of, like, broke off and evolved, I think they kind of broke off, and they're between us and the great apes. Because they have... If you ever look at the Patterson film, okay, and you know, look at, you know, the Bigfoot in the Patterson film, it has human and gorilla traits, okay. It has the buttocks, okay, which is a human trait, okay. Gorillas, chimpanzees, orangutans, they don't have butts, okay. They don't have. That's why, you know. They don't stand erect. That's why they're
right.
That's why they walk on their knuckles.
Well, that's where the support for standing
right.
erect comes from.
Yeah, is your buttocks. So, you know, they have a buttocks. So they're able to walk upright. Okay. So the breast, you know, that's a human trait. Gorillas, you know, in orangutans. Their females have breasts, but they don't have protrude breasts like our females do. And the Patterson creature has more of a human female breast. The foot is another human trait that it has. The facial features is a very human, you know, trait. You know, the way it walks, the characteristics and stuff, there's a lot of human traits to it. You know, and that's why I said, you know, it's got both. I mean, of course, it's got the satchel crest on its head, which is more of an ape trait. The hair on the body, which is, you know, more of an ape trait. You know, so it's kind of has both of them. So I think that's more of both species together is what it is, you know.
Literally a missing link.
Yeah, well, I can't say a missing link. I think it's part of, you know, the species. You know, they're just, there's two of them. You know, how can I say this? It's, you know, gorilla, chimpanzees, orangutans, then you have the human. So it has to fall in between the gorilla, chimpanzee, and the human and us. I mean, you know, between the human and then, you know, gorilla, chimpanzee, and orangutan.
What are you guessing? What kind of intelligence level?
I think it has common sense. Okay, I don't think it has intelligence. I think it's got common sense. Okay. And common sense keeps you alive. Intelligence doesn't. Okay. And you know, that's one thing. You know, you'll learn in the military is that, you know, common sense keeps you alive. Intelligence really doesn't. You know, so it's. I think they have just basic common sense. No, they know not to, you know, go where the forest fire is. They know not to go where the big boom is on a gunshot, you know, or something to that effect. You know, but they're probably, you know, not intelligent enough to, you know, get out of the rain or something like that, you know. So,
have language as we
I don't believe in that. I don't think they, I mean, I think they have a communication, you know. I mean, yeah, I think they have a communication among themselves, but I don't think they have a language per se, you know, like the human language, you know. I mean, you know, like orangutans, the chimpanzees, and apes, they have their own language, I guess, among each other. You know what I'm saying? Where they're able to communicate. And I think that's how they are able to communicate with one another, you know, the same way, you know.
So they probably don't have a symbolic language.
Yeah, I don't think they, symbolic language or, you know, anything like that. You know, I think they can probably, they maybe use tools or something. You know, they can use tools, you know, if you know, to break over bones for the, you know, mural or something like that that's in there. But I just don't think that they're, I don't know. I just think that, you know, they're just, you know, just basic common sense animals.
So tell us about your experience. You said you saw one.
I was in the Army. In the vehicle there was, you know, three of us, or a total of four of us, and you know, we kind of went off road. You know, we really weren't supposed to go off road, and we did. And the tree line was getting kind of thick, so we decided to go back. You know, get back on the main road, and we stopped the vehicle to back up, and that's when it moved. And I'm estimating maybe 12 to 15 feet in front of us. And
very close.
Yeah, very, very close. very human face, very muscular body, reddish brown hair. Did have a satchel crest on his head, long arms, long legs, long fingers, the body, and the only way I can describe it is, like, if you ever seen a dog with mange, okay,
mm-hmm.
That is how his
Patchy.
Body, yeah, you know, it kind of looked flaky a mm-hmm. little bit, you know, and stuff, kind of looked older, you know. The eyes were like a blackish red, you know, color. No hair on the face whatsoever.
Wow.
You know, it kind of like had a goatee almost, you know, the facial hair that was on it. But it didn't have, like, the whole face wasn't covered with hair, you know. It was, you know, they're like, the nose didn't have hair on it, the cheeks didn't have hair on it, the forehead didn't have hair on it, you know, or anything like that. You know, the
that must have been startling.
we're in awe.
I can't imagine how tall. Maybe
yeah.
you think. How tall?
Oh, he was. I would estimate probably about 7 feet.
Which is plenty tall.
Yeah, which was plenty tall, about 7 feet. You know, probably about 350 pounds.
And when was this?
This was back in 93.
And in Ohio?
No, this was in Michigan, actually.
Oh.
Yeah, this was in Michigan.
Well, go ahead, Teresa.
I have one question, and then I would like you to comment specifically about the Ohio Grassman. But before you do that, and continue with your sighting story, I've never seen a Bigfoot. I've talked to people who have, and I don't know, man, if I ran into something that was 12 feet, 9 feet tall, I would probably freak out. But there are so many accounts, so many people report seeing these things. And it, either believe them or you don't. But what skeptics are saying is, if there are these creatures, then where are the bodies? What do you tell people when they say that? What is
right.
for why a body has not been found for one of these creatures?
Well, you know, Mother Nature cleans up after itself. You know, if Mother Nature didn't clean up after herself, you know, we'd be walking around with piles of bones all over the place. You know.
Do you think
stuff.
They're just absorbed into the environment naturally, or scavenged, or?
Yeah,
or,
I mean, I think a lot of it is they're scavenged, you know, and things. You know, the thing I explain to people is, you know, how many times have you walked in your backyard and found a dead deer, or found a dead, you know,
anything?
Yeah, dead anything. You don't.
Right.
Only time you ever find a dead animal is when you find it along the side of the road. I mean, seriously, you know, you just don't find dead animals, you know, laying in your front yard or in your backyard, you know, or anywhere else. You don't. The only time you find dead animals is when you're riding down the road and you see them on the side of the road. That's mm-hmm. it, you know, and stuff. And they sit there, and then, you know, as each day you drive by, you know, they decay more and more, and within, you know, a week, they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the decay process came in, and, you know, it's gone. And then if they're out, you know, further out in the woods, I mean, most of the time, you know, they're already eaten.
Mm-hmm. Well, that makes sense, but, I mean, I'm not a hunter. I don't spend a lot of time in the woods. So, I mean, that seems to make sense. I've never come across a dead anything, like you said, except roadkill or maybe a bird or something, or if it just happened, obviously.
Right.
But now, when you saw this Bigfoot, when you were with somebody, what is the difference between what you saw and what we have here in Ohio, the Grassman? Tell us about the Ohio Grassman specifically.
The Ohio Grassman is just a name.
It's
just a local name. That's all it is. It's the same creature, you know. And, you know, the thing what people need to understand is that, you know, I'm trying to think of the best way to say it. You know, if these things have local names, that's all it is. They have local names, but they're all the same species. They're all the same creature. I'm not saying it's what I saw in Michigan is the Ohio one. It probably isn't. It's something that, you know, that stays in, you know, that's in Michigan. It probably doesn't stay in Michigan because, you know, I'm sure this thing does travel. You know, animals migrate, okay, but a lot of animals won't migrate if as long as there's a food source and as long as, you know, there's water. Animals don't migrate. They're not going to leave the food source. Okay, now, like in Africa and stuff like that, yeah, animals migrate because, you know, you have the rainy season. When the rainy season comes, it floods. So they have to migrate because the food source is gone, you know. So, but when you know, like here in the States and stuff, you know, we don't have that problem, you know, where we have a rainy season, you know, and it floods out, you know, the prairie and stuff like that every year, you know. So you know these things, you know, they're not gonna leave, you know, if they don't need to, you know, because, you know, as long as there's a food source, they're gonna stay.
Do you think they travel? Do you think they travel cross country, or do they stay in the same region? Or
I think they stay in the same region. I mean that's the thing. I don't think these creatures. These Bigfoot are going to travel unless it's absolutely necessary. You know, the thing of it is like humans, okay? Most humans, when they leave home, they leave within, you know, a mile, anywhere from, you know, 1 to 10 miles of where they were born. And that's it, and they stay within that area. Very seldom do humans leave and go further off unless it's a financial or a, you know, disaster that causes them to leave out further. I mean, do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay, so, I mean, but it's just like, you know, if you leave, you know, from where you grew up, your parents' home, okay, is what I'm trying to say. You're probably going to stay within a mile to 10 miles of your parents' home.
Unless you have a reason
to leave, one, either, like I said, financially, or, you know, your job took you out somewhere, or there was a disaster or something, you know, is what I'm trying to say. But normally, you know, you're going to get a job and you're going to get an apartment and you're going to be within 10 miles of where you grew up.
Right.
Okay, and that's how most humans, you know, live. So, and I think that's how they are the same way, too. They're going to stay where they grew up unless, like I said, you know, the food source, you know, or some reason makes them go.
Unless they're compelled.
Compelled to leave. Yeah.
How many do you think there are? I've heard of such a wide variety. How many do you think? And as I said, it was interesting that you distinguished between the three species. But any thoughts either on just an overall, say, North American population, or by each of the species, or just Ohio? I'm just interested to hear your thoughts on any of the numbers.
I don't think there's no more than. In the continental U.S. and Canada, 1,500, maybe 1,800, if that. I'm pushing it at that. Seriously,
man,
I'm pushing it. You know, and I like I said, I really don't think there are that many of them. I mean, I don't think there's. I mean, because if there's a lot more, I think we'd be getting a lot more sightings, a lot more, you know, contact, a lot more reports coming in. But you're not. See, law enforcement has a name. You know, they call them black cows. Okay, so if you ever get a, you ever hear police talking about black cows and stuff, they're talking about Bigfoot.
Ooh.
Okay, that's like a
code
along law enforcement, and that's a nationwide thing that they use, you know, because they're not going to get on there and say Bigfoot, you know.
What is their lifespan? What is? I mean, how long have these things? They've been around for it seems forever. But how long do you estimate a typical Bigfoot lives? If there's only maybe a little over 1,000 in the country, how long do they live? Do they live longer?
Well, I think it comes down to I'm trying to think. There's a couple ways you can think about it. One is their teeth, and Matt Moneymaker, I can honestly say, probably made the best reasoning behind this, and this was pretty good, is that, as long as your teeth hold up, and you're able to eat, you're going to live a long life, maybe, 20 years, maybe even longer. If you can't use your teeth to eat, you're going to starve and you're going to die, and you got to look at, disease, look at, competing with, other, stronger ones in your species and things, your own, keeping your body strength, things like that. I mean, getting hit by a truck, stuff like that. I'm honestly guessing, they probably got a good lifespan. I really do, because the one that I've seen, he looked like he looked old. I mean, he was an older male. I mean, to me, he looked, like he's been around for a while. I mean, he's
like
seriously
40.
Yeah.
You mean?
No, he could have. I mean, he 40, 50 years old, because he looked like he's been around. Because he looked, he looked tired and looked, rugged. So like I said, he looked like he's been a while. He's been around.
Back to that a second, just because it's so vivid and you were so close. What was the actual expression, on the face? I mean, obviously he saw you guys too, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, what was his reaction? Could you see his, apprehension of you registering on his face, or was it more kind of blank?
It was very blank. I mean, he I think he was just as much in awe as we were, to be honest, because, here we are looking at him and, he's looking at us, the thing of it is, what made sense, and I didn't really think about this until I was watching, the Book of Secrets, when they were talking about the way they move, how they kind of like have that glide.
Mm-hmm.
And, and I was thinking about that, that's true. They've got a glide to them, but the thing of it is, it's like, I never noticed it. I didn't, I mean, I was just so much in awe in the way, he was, on seeing him. You don't think about that stuff. You don't think about anything other than, the way they're moving or anything like that. he kept, as he was walking off, I mean, he was looking at us, and we're looking at him, so he was making sure that either, we weren't following him, or we weren't going to do anything.
Crazy. So, yeah, that was really interesting. And about the foot, they had the extra bend in the foot, I guess is what it was.
Yeah.
And that makes good sense, because you certainly, all the descriptions you hear is they have this very powerful, fluid movement. They just go, you know, mm-hmm. bounding through places that would be, you know, much more laborious for us to get through.
Yeah, they can walk on terrain that we can't, yeah.
Do you think they fear humans, or do they know to be fearful of us, or are they? Do they not even bother because they're so much bigger?
I don't think they fear us. I mean, honestly, I don't think they do. I think they try to stay away from us. You know, I think they know that. You know, we're dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I don't think they fear us. You know,
I mean, I would think they would know to stay away from large gatherings. You know, because there's so many of us, and mm-hmm. I think that's our danger. And I mean, both literally and on an individual level, but then also kind of on a meta level. I mean, that's why we are so dangerous, because there are so many of us, and
mm-hmm.
each one of us has the capacity to create a lot of damage. What with our
access. They know we're destroying their way of life and their home, and you know.
Right.
So,
have you had any other encounters, or what would be the next closest thing to an encounter?
I was at Salt Fork, and there was a group of us, and the one group was at the top of the hill, and there was me and another investigator who was all the way down at the bottom of the hill, and there was a ravine there, and he was inside the ravine. I was standing on top of the ravine with the light, keeping an eye on him, and I kept hearing something move behind me, and I kept looking around. I couldn't see anything, and I kept hearing something move, and, you know, I'm radioing up, is anyone down here from the team? And everybody's like, no, we're still up here. You know, everybody's still up there and stuff, and, you know, I'm kind of like, you know, maybe it's a deer, you know, and things. I kept hearing it, and so I go and I turn, and I had a light on my hat, and I seen something move from one tree to the next. It was pretty big, and that was kind of a frightening thing, because it, you know, I just caught like the back of it, you know, and stuff. So and Salt Fork is a really well known place. I mean, they've had a lot of sightings up in that area.
Yeah, so, I've heard that. Sure.
Yeah, yeah, a lot of sightings. So.
Well, we sort of just scratched the surface. Although certainly you're hearing your own experience, it's so vivid. I mean, there's obviously no doubt in your mind what you saw, and you had people with you who saw the same thing. I mean, that in a way, I mean, that had to be life changing, I would think.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the base has had a lot of sightings up there. You know, there was like a few days prior to that, one of the officers, two of the officers had sightings, you know, of a Bigfoot up there. And, you know, we didn't say nothing to nobody, you know, about our sighting. We kept, you know, I didn't say nothing to nobody for 15 years.
Wow.
And then, you know, when I wrote the book, Traces of the Grass Man, I talk about it in that book, you know, and that was it. I mean, the only person I ever told that sighting to was Linda Moulton Howe. You know, she would, I did an interview with her a few years ago, but that was like the only time, you know, I ever told anybody about the sighting, you know.
Well, it's an amazing thing, and obviously it led, I would imagine, it spurred your interest, to pursue this field in general, with the vigor that you have, having written all these books and having had all these experiences. Well, as we always say, the hour goes extraordinarily quickly. We have all kinds of things. I'd love to get into the UFO side of things, too, which is, I guess, kind of how you got started in the broad field of paranormal and all kinds of other things. I'm still trying to get into my head the whole dog man thing as just being, you know, as being literally some sort of actual, you know, real species of some. I mean, I'm not sure. I don't really know how to compartmentalize that in my mind. I'm still trying to come to terms with that. So that's a mind blower. And you know, there's just all kinds of amazing things, and we're pretty much just talking about right in our backyard in Ohio. So
yeah, actually,
we would love to have you back. And, hey, anything going on? I mean, we certainly want to convey anything that you're doing, anything you have coming up, anything you'd like us to direct our listeners to.
I'm going to be in Ashland, Ohio this weekend, speaking at a MUFON conference. If they go on my Facebook page, they can find the information there. But there's a MUFON conference in Ashland, Ohio, at the sheriff station up there. And I'm doing the Bigfoot stuff, and there's a guy, a MUFON guy talking about the UFOs, and there's a guy talking about crop circles and stuff. So that's going to be pretty decent.
Very cool. And your just make sure people get the spelling.
Show page as well, too. And you can just search to Facebook to find information on Jody.
Yep.
What else you got coming up? Any of these conferences or conventions you're going to be at this year?
No, nothing. I'm pretty well done for a while. So, I'm so tired out. So I've had a lot the last couple months. I was doing like back-to-back conferences and stuff.
We would love to have you back on. We just scratched the surface. I had a million questions. We didn't get into UFOs. We didn't get into any of the other cryptids as well. And I still have lots of questions about.
Yeah, anytime. Like I said, my schedule is open, so just whenever you want. So I'm pretty, like I said, I'm pretty well open.
It's awesome. It makes me think more than twice about what's going on. I sometimes get so into what I'm into and what I investigate, and I've never had the experience, but you know, I believe that almost anything is possible. God, the things to think that Ohio, the things that we have going on in our very own backyard in the metro parks. I run in the metro parks. You know, it makes me a little bit nervous there. I'm worried about bears, and I have to be worried about dog men and Bigfoot.
Just look, you know, you're just cruising down the road. Oh, look over to the left. Look, there's a dog man. Oh, on the right, there's a Bigfoot. Oh,
gosh. But you know what? It's a fascinating topic, and you've been a wonderful guest. We appreciate you coming on. And, again, everybody, check out Jody's page on Facebook. Check out his books. They're available on Amazon. And, yes, we definitely like to have you back on America's Most Haunted, so we can get into some more of this good stuff.
Anytime.
Jody Cook. Thank you so much for being our guest.
Thanks, Jody. Very nice meeting you. Thank you.
Hey, you too. Anytime.
So next
week. All right. Well, we will talk soon. Have a great week, everyone. And, boy, we're moving back into the TV world next week.
Yep. We got a ghost hunter coming on, don't we?
We have a ghost hunter. We have Steve. Ghost Hunter Steve.
Hunter Steve, next week. All right, good night, everybody. Thank you so much.
Good night.
Farewell.
Okay. You guys take care. All right.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
All right, bye.